Radio Prague News.
The Czech National Bank has agreed to release funds for a 1.5 billion euro loan to the IMF, approved by the government on Wednesday. According to a landmark ruling by Prague City Court, home births should be covered by medical insurance, and police have found the body of a Brno judge who hung himself in his office inside the regional court building. The board of the Czech National Bank on Thursday approved a 1.5 billion euro loan to the IMF as part of the EU's efforts to contain the debt crisis in the eurozone, according to a report by Czech television. The board made it clear that it would release the funds only on the condition that the Czech parliament approves government guarantees for the loan, part of a 200 billion euro package to rescue the single European currency. In December, EU leaders agreed to lend 200 billion euros to the International Monetary Fund in an attempt to ward off the bloc's debt crisis. The EU asked the Czech Republic to contribute some 3.5 billion euros to the loan, an amount deemed too high by the country's cabinet. Women living in the Czech Republic who would like to give birth at home rather than in a hospital are entitled to a midwife covered by medical insurance, according to a landmark ruling by the Prague City Court. The ruling was spoken in the case of a pregnant woman who asked the court to intervene after Prague's Motol Hospital had failed to provide her with assistance for her home birth. While the plaintiff gave birth before the verdict was spoken, the ruling judge decided in favor of the woman, stating that giving birth at home was a right that had to be protected by the state. The ruling calls on the Ministry of Health to introduce a new set of regulations that will facilitate home births, which have been labeled dangerous by the ministry as well as gynecologists' associations. However, ministry officials have said they are not planning to change the legislation. A judge of the Brno Regional Court on Thursday committed suicide in his office. According to a police spokeswoman, the man's body was found in his office inside the court building and did not show any signs of third-party violence. Police have declined to further comment and are investigating the case. According to information from the news agency ČTK, the judge had worked in the area of criminal law. Officials from the Shluknov region in northern Bohemia, where racial tensions have been building for years, have slammed the government's agency for social inclusion. The mayors of the region's biggest towns met with MPs on Thursday to discuss the escalating situation, stating the agency had done little to improve social problems in Varnsdorf, Rumburg, and other municipalities across the region. Public affairs leader Radek Jon told the press that at the very least, the way the agency is organized will have to be reconsidered. Shluknov's mayor Eva Djumanova also criticized the agency's 100-point strategy aimed at fighting social discrimination, which was approved by the government in September of last year. The document, drafted in a reaction to the ongoing demonstrations and violent incidents in the region, proposed measures that were downright absurd, she said. And now let's take a brief look at the weather. The coming days should be overcast with some sunny periods. Daytime highs will range between -4 and 0 degrees Celsius. My name is Sarah Borufka, and this brings us to the end of today's news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. Coming up in today's show, firefighters' unions have warned that further budget cuts will negatively impact services. We look at a campaign hoping to see the return of Latin to Czech schools. Then stay tuned for Panorama, which looks at the fate of a centuries-old tradition, the pig slaughtering feast, soon to be a thing of the past. That's all ahead. Firefighters in the Czech Republic are greatly concerned at the course their budgets are taking. As the money from the Ministry of the Interior steadily decreases, the Firemen's Union warns that further cuts may lead to substandard services. Christian Falvey has the story.
In 2010, Czech fire services were still operating with a budget of roughly 8.5 billion crowns a year. Over the last 2 years, that has been progressively cut by nearly 2 billion, and firemen are feeling the pinch. According to the chairman of the Czech Firefighters Union, Zdeněk Oberreiter, any more cuts and the service will no longer provide what is currently expected of it, as he told Czech radio earlier on Thursday.
As a result of the nearly 1.5 billion cut last year, operational costs were cut to a minimum and investments are de facto at zero. There are only unavoidable costs for maintenance. We can survive 2012, but at the cost of decreasing our numbers, which certainly is not to the benefit of the services provided to the public. There is nowhere left to save except on salaries.
The union has therefore called a press conference to familiarize the public with the ramifications of what it expects are inevitable further cuts. Mr. Oberreiter points out that the medium-term outlook for the state budget, passed in December, calls for fire budget reductions of nearly 900 million in 2013 and 1.5 billion in 2014, and says that such austerity would mean the end of the fire brigade as we know it, sending the service back to the level of 1972, when fire stations were only in district centers.
The emergency response time would have to be increased because certain fire stations would have to be closed down. If we count on that 1.5 billion cut, for example, that means dismissing 3,000 firemen. Today we're supposed to have 9,026 firemen. So as you can see, it would mean losing one entire shift.
Meanwhile, the cabinet has created something of a future conundrum for itself, if indeed it plans to abide by its medium-term budget, as the services that the fire department must provide is dictated by law, but the budget may not allow those services to be provided in full. In order for the budget to be followed, the law would have to be rewritten to limit services, the union says. And the union is not the only one warning ahead of more cuts. Several days ago, Fire Chief Drahoslav Ryba also pointed out that the department's budget was already at an historic minimum, at which the service can still get by without the public noticing the difference, but not for long. More cuts, he said, would mean longer response times and would affect professionalism, with salaries already having been cut by 7% on average. Meanwhile, the Firefighters Union points out that with an estimated 8 billion crowns worth of property saved from fires last year alone, there is nothing economical about cutting the budget for fire services.
Christian Falvey reporting there on tough situation there for the country's firefighters. Latin once used to be the cornerstone of classical education. Until the middle of the 20th century, some knowledge of the language was a prerequisite for any career in the academia, and Latin was taught at every grammar school. But the number of students taking up the language has dropped by half over the past decade. That's why a group of Latin teachers launched a campaign recently to revive the teaching of Latin at Czech schools. Jan Richter reports.
Ursus et Davus non sacos portant, saci a Siro et Leandro portant, pontar, portantur.
Portantur. Ursus and Davus are not carrying the bags. The bags are carried by Siro and Leandro, reads a student in a morning class of Latin at the grammar school Vojeradská in Prague. It is one of several grammar schools or gymnasiums in the capital that offer extracurricular Latin courses to their students. One of the students in the classroom is Petra Blahutová, who explains her motivation.
I would like to go on university, and I like foreign language, and I think that it is interesting language.
She is in her final year at the grammar school, just like her friend Eva Svobodová, who says Latin is in fact close to Czech.
I would like to study psychology, and Latin is just a hobby. I'm interested in foreign cultures, and Latin has structure which is similar to our language and has long history.
In the Czech Republic, there are now around 7,500 students taking Latin courses, about half compared to a decade ago. The dwindling numbers of students interested in Latin now made a group of teachers take action. They wrote a memorandum to the Education Ministry asking the authorities to introduce Latin as an optional subject at the state school leaving exams. Jakub Žitek, who teaches Latin at the Arabská grammar school in Prague, is a leading member of the Association of Teachers of Classic Languages.
The Czech Republic sinks lower and lower in the international student assessment rankings in reading comprehension. I'm not sure I can prove a direct relation between this and the numbers of students who study Latin, but I can tell that nowadays they tend to have a poorer understanding of the texts. I'd say Latin gives students a linguistic perspective.
Yet there are some secondary schools where Latin is taught quaque die, every day. For students at the Archbishop's Grammar School in Prague, the language of the ancient Romans is a compulsory subject, and some of them even take optional courses of another extinct language, Classical Greek. This class is considerably smaller. The three students say they are motivated by pure interest in the language itself, rather than any practical use. Their teacher and the school's headmaster is Richard Mašek. He says some of his students would take the school leaving exam in Latin if it were made available.
I welcome the idea. At our school, some students take a Latin exam as part of our own school leaving exams. If Latin became part of the state exams, I'm sure some of our pupils would certainly take it.
Officials at the Education Ministry have not completely shunned the idea of introducing Latin as an optional part of the exams. They said the ministry would now assess the significance of Latin for secondary education, but warned the addition of the language into the exam system would require extra funds, which the ministry might not have anytime soon.
Jan Richter reporting there. Interesting stuff. We'll have to see how that works out, whether Latin will come back as an option. Now we turn to today's final feature, or main feature for this day, which is Panorama, hosted, as always, by Daniela Lazarova.
A centuries-old tradition, the pig-slaughtering feast, will soon be a thing of the past. Those who consider the gory ritual an act of barbarism are cheering. Others, for whom it is an important part of village folklore, are determined to maintain it at any price. A pig-slaughtering feast is precisely what the name suggests. The slaughter of a pig out in the open by a master butcher, the processing of the meat and intestines in front of those invited, and subsequently a boisterous pork feast accompanied by drinking, music and dancing, which generally leaves everyone much the worse for wear. Ham, liver, blood pudding, sausages, cracklings and head cheese. Those are some of the mouth-watering dishes that you will be invited to taste at a traditional pig slaughter. That is, if you're not squeamish about the fact that the housewife and her helpers mix the products in huge vats and basins out in the yard or in the kitchen, their sleeves rolled up and hands elbow deep in the still warm mixture of pork intestines and blood. The sights and smells of a traditional zabijačka can be overpowering, even for people with a strong stomach, and the faint-hearted should keep well away from it. Until the pig is slaughtered and the food is prepared, there is really not much to do except stand around, drink plum brandy, and socialize. In the olden days, the home breeding and slaughtering of pigs several times a year was an economic necessity. People would stock up on meat for the harsh winter months, or slaughter a pig to provide for a big celebration, such as a wedding or a christening. A pig slaughtering feast was a big event to which the whole village was invited, and no one came away empty-handed. The way it worked in most villages is that people slaughtered their animals at different times,
and shared so that there was always good pork in the larder. Illustrator Josef Ludda put the pig slaughtering feast on many of his postcards, and among others it was described in detail in Bohumil Hrabal's famous novel Postřižiny, later filmed by Oscar-winning director Jiří Menzel.
Prasátko moje, no neboj, Ludvíku, neboj. No, 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 budou z tebe dobré šunky.
Although home pig slaughtering is no longer an economic necessity, you can still come across these feasts in some parts of Europe, Croatia, Serbia, Hungary, Italy, Greece, Portugal and Spain, to name just a few countries. But now a new set of strict hygiene norms approved by the European Commission is about to change all that. The new legislation means that while a farmer can still slaughter a pig and consume the meat at home, he will no longer be able to organize a pig slaughtering feast for his friends and neighbors. Anyone who violates the new law could face a fine of up to 300,000 crowns. Farmer Vladimír Řehounek says this is a great pity.
Pig slaughtering feasts were not just about stocking up on meat. It was a social occasion, and if this new law is strictly enforced, then we will have to forget about them, and our children will know nothing of this old tradition.
Josef Boháč from the regional veterinary office confirms that this is indeed the case.
The food products made from a pig slaughter, which are served to the public, must be made under state veterinary supervision.
This would inevitably mean an end to pig slaughtering festivals organized by individual farmers or even local associations of hunters, firemen or gardeners. Most people are ready to accept this, but some are refusing to bow to instructions from Brussels. Miroslav Nosek, the mayor of Miletín, is incensed by the idea.
Someone in Brussels approves a law banning pig slaughtering feasts and ends a centuries-long tradition just like that. Every country nurtures its traditions and traditional products and shows them off to foreign visitors. Why should we do the opposite?
The mayor is determined to organize the town's annual pig slaughtering feast on the Miletín main square, regardless of the EU ban.
If anyone has any objections, I will say it is a private party and all the guests are my relatives. I will bypass the law because I consider it to be utterly nonsensical. That's where it will lead, to people bypassing the law.
Although the new hygiene laws approved by the European Union have raised the hackles of some villagers, the problem may not be as serious as it looks. With or without the EU, pig slaughtering feasts are slowly on their way out. Few people still breed pigs at home, and pig slaughtering feasts have grown rare. Josef Jelinek is a master butcher authorized to perform home slaughters.
The home pig slaughters are few and far between. When I took up the trade 23 years ago, I would perform around 90 home slaughters for people in the course of a single year. Now I am called to about 15 at the most.
According to the Czech Agrarian Chamber, the number of home slaughters has fallen sharply in the last decade, reflecting the significantly lower number of pigs bred by large breeders. While in 2003 the chamber registered over 3,300,000 pigs, in 2011 there were just 1,750,000. The head of the Agrarian Chamber, Jan Veleba, says this explains the drop in home slaughters.
People who would otherwise be interested in buying a piglet and fattening it up simply lack the opportunity to do so. Getting them from the big breeders is no longer so easy.
And given the dwindling number of home slaughters, there is gradually also a dearth of the master butchers authorized to perform such slaughters in line with veterinary and hygiene norms. The home slaughter of pigs, followed by a public feast, should soon be a thing of the past. While some occasionally still take place, the State Veterinary Office has warned private breeders and various hobby groups and associations that they could soon get into big trouble for breaking the law. Anyone who wishes to organise a pork feast for their village or friends and neighbours would have to buy certified meat products that have been approved by the State Veterinary Authority. Public feasts could still be as boisterous, but they would be a lot less bloody, which many see as a good thing.
Sounds of the pig feast ending that edition of Panorama by Daniela Lazareva. Now, have you ever experienced a real authentic Czech pig slaughtering feast? If so, why not let us know about your experience here at Radio Prague? You can write to english@radio.cz or to our street address, Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. We're looking forward to some interesting stories. Now, though, we turn to our final feature for this day, which is a continuation of our long-running ABC of Czech program, actually now in reruns, and it's brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome again to our regular Czech language program, the ABC of Czech. Today I'm here with Kamila Rosolová. It's time now for the letter N, which stands for names. The typical Czech has two names, a first name and surname. Those who have been baptized have one or more middle names, but very few people ever use them. The Czech Baroque composer
Jan Jakub Ryba
or the 19th century playwright
Josef Kajtán Tell
would be an exception today. It's not uncommon that parents pass their own first names on to their children. In some families, the same Christian name is handed on from father to son for generations. Although the choice of names is quite large in Czech, certain names were so popular with some generations that they became overrepresented. For example, the number of boys called
Jan
and girls called
Jana,
the equivalence of John and Jane in the population, is enormous. Today, however, many people tend to give their children rarer names, which will make them stand out more among their contemporaries. A large proportion of Czech given names come from foreign languages. Latin, Hebrew, Greek, those are mainly biblical names. Or more recently, from Western European languages. Another big group are Slavonic names, which are usually quite long, such as
Vladimir,
meaning world ruler, or
Lubomir,
which means peace lover. The first name of Pavel,
Václav,
is an old Czech name, meaning more famous or more glorious. The anglicized form is Wenceslas. Saint Wenceslas, or
Svatý Václav,
is the patron saint of the Czech lands. The surname
Havel,
on the other hand, is originally a Latin first name, Gallus. A lot of Czech surnames are derived from first names. For instance, the surname of composer
Leoš Janáček
is a diminutive of
Jan
or John. Czech surnames are predominantly of Slavonic origin, but a large number come from German. For example,
Stanislav Gross
has a perfectly Slavonic first name and a German surname. Women traditionally take their husband's name when they marry, and female surnames have special endings. The wife of Havel is Mrs.
Havlová,
and Mr. Gross's spouse is Mrs.
Grossová.
Czechs also celebrate name days. Every day in the year has a name assigned to it. Originally, individual days were dedicated to specific patron saints, but as new names were coming about, the distribution has become pretty much random in the secular calendar. Name days aren't such a big event as birthdays, but some days in the year are notorious because masses of people who have the same name celebrate at the same time. For example, everybody knows that the 19th of March is dedicated to Josef, a very common male name for the older generation. The reason is that most Josefs and their pals across the country get very drunk. And that's all for now from me, Pavla, which comes from the Latin word for small, and
Camilla,
a girl of noble origin in Latin.
Nashledanou.
ABC of Czech there with not only Pavla Horáková, but also Kamila Rosolová, the letter N. And that's all we have time for today, I'm afraid. We are out of time, so just going to say goodbye now, and thanks so much for joining us, and take care.